enter into that, and no longer do you struggle like you did before. You become established, even financially. Then you enter the third phase, which began in his third journey in Acts 19, when he went into Ephesus. When he was in Ephesus, his third phase began. Third phase, point one. His mode of ministry changed. Before he used to travel to the places, now he stayed put, and all the other major towns were touched when he was in one place. Ephesus became the epicenter of his ministry. And all the areas around Ephesus were touched and changed. That's the first thing that took place. Now they came to hear Paul and they went back, brought back the word. In those 3 years, two of those years in the school of Tyrannus, the entire region was touched without Paul traveling to them. That's the first point of the third phase. Second point, God began to bring a new anointing on his life that he has never entered before. Special miracles took place in Paul's life. The third point of the third phase, also in the book of Acts 19, Paul began to experience the final part of his ministry. That is his fourth phase. He began to go more into writing like he has never done before. The next week when we look at the epistles, we'll show you which place in the book of Acts he wrote all the different episodes. We thought of showing it this week, but we'll show you the next week. But he began to do a little bit more of that. And evidence of the other phase coming. And then you go on to his fourth phase, which began in Acts 20 and 21. And in his fourth phase, it's very strange. Number one, he was removed from the public eye. He was no more in the public. Other people were now in the public eye. He did not retire, but he went into fourth phase. There are a lot of Moses generation entering their fourth phase. Not because they're retired, it's because they're in their fourth phase, you move out of the public eye. And listen very carefully. If we don't do what God tells us to do in each phase, something will happen that will force you into it, which won't be good. We need to be led by the Spirit. Paul was led by the Spirit. And his fourth phase, number one, he went back into the private area. He was no more in the public eye. Number two, in his fourth phase, many didn't understand what he was doing. Even his closest friends. Because the fourth phase of any ministry is usually preparing the next generation and others down the line. And that's the hardest part to understand. When a man of God enters the fourth phase and they're seeing things in the Spirit so far that, and doing things in the Spirit so far that you cannot see the harvest, you've got to see the harvest down the line. In his fourth phase, he primarily wrote a lot. Nobody could see the value of Paul being in prison. Only God, who could see down the line, nearly 2,000 years later, for us to read his writings and be blessed. The fourth phase of Paul's ministry is the phase that affects us more. But the fourth phase of his ministry affects the people in his generation the least. Isn't that funny? That's why, under point 2 or phase 4, is the hardest for the generation around them to understand. Because their focus or their work is for the next generation more than the present generation. Point three of the fourth phase of Paul's ministry in his life was that every other prophecy that was unfulfilled became fulfilled. He met all the major rulers of his days. He met Claudius Lysias. He met Felix. He met Festus. He met King Agrippa. As if accidentally King Agrippa was there. It was not. Divine appointment. Agrippa happened to visit Festus. And then he met Caesar himself. And he preached the gospel as prophesied to all the leaders of his generation. All the rest of the prophecy came to pass. So that's the fourth phase that continued from Acts 21 right up to Acts 28. And you see him still in his fourth phase. And he's continued encouraging all the others. And that's the last part of the fourth phase. Paul became what I call the background of the other ministries who are now moving into their first and second phase, like Timothy. Paul was in the background now completely, and he's more giving advice. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you for your patience. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O God, that you continue to establish in our hearts and in our lives the Word of God, the ministry of God. Father, these things that we have spoken, O Lord, from your Spirit, they are found in your book, O God. Father, we have only been able to give a general view of this book, but there's so much more things you have here for your people. We ask that you establish it, O Lord, and cause it to come into the lives of your people, your ministries and the churches in this nation and in every nation, that we will become a blessing, Lord, wherever we go. Cause us, O God, to be filled with your Spirit at all times, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you. And next week we are entering Paul's epistles, and we'll do a little bit more background on some of these things and enter his epistles, right? Those who need ministry, you ministry outside there. And thank you for your patience. And those who are in charge, we apologize for taking a bit of extra time. When we are on the shorter epistles, we let you go out early, alright? Let's go. Replace.